your band is garbage, and we're here to tell you. Two pieces of shit guys lying in our bedrooms. We may be garbage, but we know better than you. Your band is garbage, and we all know that it's true.
So I've been on my Pokemon grind lately. Been playing that online trading card game.
You have been really into that shit. I've seen at the at the store that I go to behind my apartment, just guzzling energy drinks like an absolute animal over the last few days. They have Pokemon cards at the checkout, and I constantly think about you when I see them, and I've like come really close to buying it, and just I think opening it and then throwing them away, and then giving you the code that's on the inside. Does that help you at all?
That would actually help me if you did that, because there's this whole fucking economy online where you have to like trade packs for cards. It's really fucking weird.
That sucks. That's for kids.
So anyway, I actually picked up some cards in paper to play with. I guess, you know, COVID's happening, so it's a little weird, but I guess places are still having like events in at least Ohio with for like card games. Everyone's wearing their mask, they like social distance, it's whatever, you know. But I went to one and I got my ass kicked in the first round. And I went outside, I'm sitting there vaping and hanging
like
out.
Like literally or figuratively?
Figuratively. Like the guy's Pokemon kicked my Pokemon's ass. Yeah.
Okay. And I think they faint in the game, if that's right.
Yeah, that's right. So like no contest, got my ass beat. And there was this like little kid that was there.
When you say little, set the scene. How old?
I thought he was 10.
Don't like how
there,
that started.
He was there with his dad, and one of the guys there, like, he was like, "Is this your first time?" I was like, "Yeah." And he like leaned in, he was like, "Don't underestimate that kid. He's played on the pro tour." So like, I'm waiting. I'm sitting there like wondering what the fuck is going on. Like, I'm not gonna lose to a fucking kid. So I lose in the first round, and I like sent out a little like, you know, depression tweet or whatever, just farming for likes. I was like, if I lose to this 10-year-old, my self esteem will reach dangerously low levels.
Did you get the Curtis? Did you get the likes on it? Did it pull through for you? Or
I got a couple likes on it. And then first of all, turns out he was 7. And he just completely whooped my ass. Like he was sitting there, his like dad was watching him play and making sure that I wasn't like
cursing. Is he watching at his you for like pulling Mewtwo's out of your sleeve or whatever?
During the tournament with him? He's like sitting there watching me. He's like nodding as his kid is making like these like sick plays and just
patting on the back and
shit.
Be like, "That's right, son. At least he's proud of him. That's awesome."
And then I lost, and I think I might be done with the children's card game.
Well, now, it sounds like that might be for the best. So I'm glad that you got your feet wet in it, and I'm glad that you were able to get that experience and to walk away with your head held high. Mm-hmm. And now everybody knows about it. So I appreciate you.
Yeah. And I mean, everyone else there was like between like 25 and like 40. There was literally one child playing Pokemon at this shop. And he just wrecked. So
did he have his mask on as well?
He did. Okay. And his little hands were like smaller than the fucking cards. So watching him like try and shuffle a deck full of cards together was so fucking funny.
His little hands.
Anyway, we will most likely talk Pokemon a little bit more later, but we do have a guest here in the virtual stew, Jacob, if you want to take it away.
Yeah, I would love to take it away. Thank you so much, Robin. We have several guests, and by that I mean from one band, and I mean it's several people from that band, and we have them here with us. So a big hello and welcome, and also what's up to our friends in Guilt. It's Nico, Tristan, Tyler, and Ash. What's up, y'all? How are you doing?
Hi.
It's good. I was halfway listening to the Pokemon thing.
Okay, perfect. So was I.
Halfway arguing politics on Facebook.
Now that's awesome. Can you give me a rundown on now? I will have to ask, what were you arguing in favor or against of?
Yeah, y'all really want to know?
I would love to know. I would love to know.
Somebody who I may or may not be related to posted a picture of a security guard taking a woman away from a sporting event because she wasn't wearing a mask, and the security guard also wasn't wearing a mask. And this faction of people who may or may not be related to me, they're very anti-masks. They're like, you know, it's all a hoax, blah 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 blah. So I ironically said, "Back to blue." Because, like, you know, I support this cop doing his job.
And she said,
she said, I'm glad that you finally understand. And I said, yeah, if these people would stop protesting like animals and just follow the law and wear the mask like they're supposed to. And she said, I don't think the law is that you have to wear the mask in an outdoor event. And I said, well, in that case, this man is detaining the woman for a crime that isn't even real. And we should be angry about the police. And she said, no.
So you'd like to defund the police then? You just start like destroying her.
Yeah, it's
I love circular reasoning so fucking
that's
much.
So sick.
I
had, so good.
Yeah, I had time to do all that while listening to the Pokemon story. It was good.
I don't know how much you I think maybe it may be something that a younger generation understands more than an older one, but I feel like I don't know a lot of people that subject themselves to as much content that I do that they just absolutely despise and revile. And like, yeah. I will watch it with just, like, this morbid fascination, and it sounds like you are on the correct side of politics, so I have no issue sharing
that's,
this.
That's
with you.
Why I keep my Facebook active.
But
yeah, for the record, I bought the I did buy the Knocked Loose Dying Wish ACAB shirt, so
okay.
I think,
oh, I saw that.
Nice.
Pretty good. I don't know.
That is sick.
I don't know if you like content that makes you want to punch a hole in the wall, but I have been following this YouTube show. I guess it's an Instagram show, but it's called Poplitics, and it is done by...
Oh, my God. Can we get watch together and watch one episode of Poplitics?
I have been subjecting Robin to these videos. We watch him with another one of our buddies, and it's this... I guess it's an Instagram show. They have like 25K on Instagram, but it's a YouTube show. Mm-hmm. They do it every single day. It's anywhere from like 9 to 10 minutes long. It's sponsored and put on by TPUSA. If you're familiar with anything they've ever done, they suck. They are like the college conservative.
Oh, I thought we were like, ooh, big conglomerated toilet paper. What do they have?
Turning Point USA. Turning Point USA.
Big TV out here pushing ball. Yeah, okay. Oh, God. I'm sorry.
It's awful. It's terrible. It is a YouTube show where they talk pop culture and conservative politics. And it's hosted by... just the most infuriating woman I've ever come across, and
just
I can't stop watching.
Completely unhinged, like screaming at the microphone about like what Kanye said last week.
Where are we sitting?
Like very like think Alex Jones, but less like angry.
Now her name is also Alex, which is wild. But it's absolutely insane. They just posted 4 hours ago. She posted it. A 20-minute video, how to make my homemade cinnamon rolls recipe. So very excited to be watching that once we're finished here.
Wait, how did they make that political?
Couldn't tell you. They've never done a cooking video. So totally out of left field. No idea why that's on there. So.
Well, no, they did the chili recipe. Remember?
Out of nowhere.
No. So you know what she fucking? I don't know if maybe you guys saw this because I had seen this previously without knowing that it was them, but. The host of it, I guess, posted on Twitter at some point her chili recipe, which is called like Picky Eater Chili. I have to pull it up now. I have to just pull it up. That's what it's going to be.
The answer to the cinnamon roll thing, how do they make it bad, is they refuse to use brown sugar, only granulated white sugar.
Jesus Christ. And also, if you're putting sugar in your chili, you'll get fucked up. I'm so cinnamon goddamn stupid, you guys.
No, you're not.
You are some fake ass Cincinnatian.
I'm just like
not
I'm googling
fucking chili.
I'm googling chili recipes, trying to find this woman's awful chili recipe. I think I put her name in as Alex White, which I don't think that is her name. I think she just is white, which made me think it.
Understandable.
Jesus Christ!
If you ever just. That's my favorite thing I've heard all day.
Yeah, normally if I'm searching for a white person on Google, I add white after it just confirm.
The algorithm. We narrow down the results.
Yeah.
There's so many. God.
I feel like that's really funny, but it actually would work in reverse, and that's deeply upsetting. Like, you have to actually Google other ethnicities.
Yeah. Now I'm depressed.
Thank you. That's my main
thing. That's what we do.
My favorite all-time Twitter moment is Mia Farrow one time posted, she posted something for her daughter's birthday that was like just a photo of her daughter. And she's like, hey, you know, whatever, I love you, happy birthday. And she did not save the photo. She screenshotted the photo so you could see the rest of her, you know, her phone screen. And you could see that she Googled the phrase Mia Farrow with her black daughter. And that was in the photo of the birthday post. So, not good at all. Not good to do that.
Why?
Just a reminder, because I feel like I constantly have to keep you on track. This is a music podcast, right? Like, we're here to talk
about our music is political, apparently.
I'm busy.
Tweet and music go together. They go hand in hand.
So does Mia Farrow. She's in there somewhere.
So, basically, the recipe for the chili was just, like, some beans, some meat, and I think spaghetti noodles, and like that was like some salt, and like that's it. Like disgusting, just absolutely nasty white people shit. And she got roasted for it on Twitter, which is correct. But they did an episode of the show where she like addressed it at the beginning of the show, and like they were showing like clips of The Office where Kevin was dropping the chili, and it's so weird. Like, I can't even begin to describe how fucking unhinged that show is, because they'll just, she'll say like, I made chili today, and then it'll just be a clip of Kevin from The Office just dropping chili, just because she said the word, like someone, some intern is just Googling the word chili video clip and like just playing the first one that comes to mind.
Oh my god, the episode where she was talking about how she was so excited for the two fuck, what are their names? The two guys from Parks and Rec to come out as conservative.
Oh my god, Chris fucking Pratt
and the guy from those commercials.
Rob Lowe.
That one. Yeah.
Rob Lowe's a big dumb dumb anyway. Rob Lowe's been a shithead for as long as we can
remember.
Rob Lowe
started like a liberal media outlet.
Did he?
You know. I thought so. I thought he just like spearheaded the campaign for like a, I mean, I say liberal, I mean like, you know, like Democrat.
Like center.
Right. Yeah, like
libs. Like
yeah,
libs.
Yeah. Fucking libs. Yeah.
Fucking libs.
Man, I hate to say it, but that might be that same episode that you're
referring to. I found out a couple days ago what the most controversial thing about me is, apparently. It's the way I make chili.
Okay, I found it. I found the chili recipe.
I call it Alex's Picky Eater Chili.
Alex's Picky Eater Chili. Here we go. We're 1 pound of the leanest beef possible, 1 can tomato sauce, 1 can kidney beans, 1 packet chili seasoning, spaghetti noodles, lots of salt, pepper, red pepper, flakes, and garlic powder. That's it.
I love that they do chili seasoning as if they can't fucking season their own chili.
Yeah, I mean, why do you need a recipe if the recipe is just get some seasoning, figure it out?
Southern also, me is so pissed.
I don't know how I've gone this long without mentioning this, but the whole show is shot, well, I guess not shot, edited in portrait mode. So,
oh no,
when you like watch it on YouTube, it full screens your phone. Here, no. I'm sending a photo. All right, there's a chili pic in the chat for those inches.
That looks so ugly.
It's so bad. It's so bad. It's disgusting.
Oh, Airdy is like, I'm looking gourmet over
here.
Okay,
what is it? Okay, I get it. I mean, it's bad. It's disgusting. What are the noodles? Why are
there
noodles in this chili?
Why is there spaghetti in chili?
I would like to really, really put a spotlight on that opinion, because I also share that thought. I don't know why there's noodles in it. Noodles have no place in chili. And a lot of the people in these comments are like, yeah, we put noodles in our chili. It's really good. And I'm from Robin and I are from Cincinnati originally. So I fuck with some dumb chili. Like, yeah. I understand that my chili preferences are not 100% up to snuff, but this is
that
nasty.
A thing? Is that like what you're known
yeah,
for?
Yeah,
like, we do like it's like spaghetti, and then it's this chili that's like a weird, like sweet, like like really fine ground beef
isn't
sauce.
Spaghetti like
cinnamon then, in like, it.
Aren't you supposed to be from like New York and like be proud of your like Italian heritage if you're into spaghetti? Like, why is Cincinnati
that's like bolognese?
It's like a what is it, a Greek thing? I think it's the way that like Greek people do chili.
Yeah, I think it's like based on a Greek thing, but it it's really, I mean, I fucking love it. I grew up with it. Like, I, you know, you're not gonna get me talking about it, but it's like
down here, spaghetti noodles,
chili, and then cheese on top. It's not even that. Like, it's long spaghetti noodles that it like it's a fucking dish. Like, it sits in a dish on top of plain noodles. It's like there are distinct layers of it. It's not mixed together.
Now, Jacob, I know this isn't gonna make sense to the rest of the group, but are you a little plate on top of the big plate with your chili spaghetti guy, or do you dump it onto the big plate from the little plate?
I'm not dumping my food onto one. Are you dumping your food onto another one?
Yeah, because there's not enough room on the little plate on the top. It just like it gets all messy. It ends up falling on the bottom plate anyway.
You have to take
three
bites and then there's room. Yeah, what are you talking about?
Just eat it, right?
Eat a garbage plate sandwich.
And now I'm hungry.
Oh no! Don't say garbage plate.
You know what? You know what?
I miss garbage. <They're good. laughs>
Right. Robin was so offended by the garbage plate.
Wait, is there? Do we not like garbage plates? Should we have not?
Oh, listen, we're from Florida. That was our first time having one.
Yeah, we're tourists.
So we don't know any, but
I know vaguely what they are. I feel like if I ever had it, I would heavily fuck with it.
Delicious, but also
what exactly
dangerous.
Is it?
Okay.
Here's the thing. It's beautiful.
Okay, so here's the sort of breakdown of it. It's like, so I guess a really basic way of saying it is it's like everything at a barbecue that you could like want. But anyway, it's like, so you have like, you know, you have fries, you have like two hot dogs. It's like a specific kind of hot dog. I think it's like White Eagles because it's from Rochester. And then fucking like macaroni salad, fucking.
Was there coleslaw?
Yeah, I was like, no, I don't think there was coleslaw.
No.
There's like a fucking burger there or something.
Yeah,
because
if you're mixing hot and cold.
Oh, that's right. There was just a burger patty. It wasn't actually a burger.
It was a burger. Well, you can choose between a burger patty or hot dogs. Like,
you could put both if you're.
You got.
I mean, if you're feeling it, but it's like it's usually like one of the, and that's also home fries. Potatoes. Yeah,
and then they cover it in just mustard and ketchup. It's wrong, you know, but like, it's good.
Yeah,
it's like a fun goulash.
Yeah, it's bad.
It looks really bad, but it looks like all of the different parts of that would taste phenomenal together.
It's something
it just,
you should eat alone.
It looks like someone shit on like a Cracker Barrel meal. Like,
yeah, that's like, it.
I mean, it is called a garbage plate, so...
That's
I mean,
true.
Yeah. You know, actually, so... if you fucked with this, you might actually like Skyline Chili. If you can look at this food and still be hungry, then yeah, you might actually fuck with it.
When you're on the road...
Me, Bobby Flay?
...appetizing to you, like, you have no standards. We have eaten a barbecue on the floor from a stranger one time because we were so hungry.
No, I feel like you should clarify that was just a hunk of ham that somebody gave us. That wasn't like barbecue, like
that
takeout.
Actually sounds
that was like
somebody gave us an entire ham.
I have a video of that, video documentation,
and we used plastic forks to just take the little pieces of ham off and eat it on the ground like fucking raccoons.
I feel like there's a lot more to that we should get into later.
Oh,
like there was a man who
fucking get into it now. You don't have to wait till later.
Because you threw ham at him.
Y'all got ham? I don't remember ham.
This
was the bad times.
God,
this was our first night in Texas, which I'm pretty sure we could have like multiple episodes.
Was that Texas?
Because
Holoverse was playing, and aren't they not from Texas?
They're not from Texas. They're from.
Oh, that was at the Texas Rose Saloon. I remember that. Oh no, let's never go back there again.
It felt like Mos Eisley in Star Wars, like that, or Tatooine, I suppose.
I would love to do a 4-part Guilt Takes Texas series. Like just
I will rip Texas apart. I hate Texas.
Kristen has a Texas tattoo.
Texas is cursed.
I do love.
All right, that's
Martha.
The title of the episode. Guilt Takes Texas.
Where are you going
to
put it?
Texas,
we're going to push it over
too
here.
Too many times.
I'd go back to Marfa. That's West.
Yeah, I have
Texas.
To go visit my family, so I have to keep going back.
That's too bad. We live in Ohio, though, so I guess there's not much shit to talk.
I actually love Ohio, so I heard
well,
you shit-talking it, but...
Yeah. Hold on. Real quick. Speaking of Ohio, did y'all know that my band was supposed to open for you in April?
Ooh.
Well, now I'm sad. Again.
Wait, where?
It was in May. I thought it was in May.
No, it was May. April.
I think it was May 5th. I think the show was May 5th. I'm going to Facebook right now.
May 5th was Pooza Fest. Fine.
Wait, did Daisy book it? Daisy Kaplan? Kaplan?
I don't know. My buddy Tim texted me and was like, hey, my friends are playing a show with this band Guilt. You should open for them. I was like, okay.
A fucking like Northside Front.
Northside Tavern, the poster with that little Cyclops. Yeah, that was...
What band are you?
We are at the Last Safe Place.
Oh, fuck yeah. I remember that event page.
May 6th. I was off by one day, motherfucker. I didn't even have the tavern. Right.
Yeah, but our buddy Daisy and Lung booked that for us.
Oh, shit. That's dope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's not because it didn't happen.
It
didn't happen, but yeah, I just thought that was...
It's kind of wild to think that it's almost over.
I think that is... I do not think it's almost over, I think, unfortunately.
Nico, no, are you serious or are you joking?
No, I think Nico meant the year.
The
year.
I thought you were like, oh, thank God COVID's done. It's like,
No, it is as of today.
I was talking about the year.
We're doing it. Florida decided today that everything, all restaurants are back open.
No, trust me, I live in constant fear every day because of COVID. And in Florida specifically, like, nobody gives a shit about, like Tyler was saying, like, everything is opening back up to full capacity.
You guys are from Jacksonville.
We are
right?
One of the biggest hotspots.
Jacksonville, St. Augustine, like same area. Side.
That door padlocked.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, Ohio's. I feel like right at the beginning of when everything started, Ohio did a good job of like shutting shit down, and then I feel like Florida's currently still doing a very bad job of.
we are the last state to shut down.
To be fair, Ohio caught back up with all the shitty stuff.
Yeah. Ohio has redeemed itself in awful, unfathomable way since then. But
we are at they're opening restaurants as of this morning at midnight for 100% capacity. So
is that for real?
That is so real. That is, yeah.
We're doing that everywhere.
That's fucked.
I walked into a Texas Roadhouse and a waiter poked me.
Why did you walk into a Texas Roadhouse?
I walked into a Texas Roadhouse because I wanted some biscuits. And yeah. It
that's
so
right. Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Yes. And
yep. Yes, sir.
Was, yeah, and
sorry.
And then they poked me and I left. I was so mad. He poked me with a bare hand with his hands, but no gloves. And they were 100% capacity. It was horrible.
That's not good. I feel like Ohio, there's obviously psychos running everything everywhere. But
sure,
I feel like when all of this started, our particular psychos were like, hey, you know, let's throw some masks on and let's order takeout for the next few weeks. Let's try and then we'll all get back to normal. And then, you know, some people were still unhappy with that. But I feel like throughout all of this, I have been able to look to Florida as just a shining example of absolute psychos being in charge over there all the time.
It's I mean, you're not wrong. There's a lot of other things happening in Florida too right now that are very bad. Our governor is trying to pass a bill to just completely criminalize any form of protest. It's really scary.
Yeah,
it's
not good.
Yeah, it's not good at all.
It's been slowly happening in a lot of southern states, but they've just not been talking about it. But it's very scary.
Yeah, absolutely. And just like, you know, we just see people, like videos of people just getting thrown in cars every day, no explanation. Really fucking awesome that's constantly happening.
A good friend of ours got arrested not too long ago, but they're okay. But they were kept in federal custody for about 24 hours. And that was very scary.
Half the
internet
was
concerned. Yeah, we thought, you know, something else, but thankfully they're safe now and they're in a good position.
Good.
But
good.
No, it's fucking terrifying.
But
that can happen to anybody.
But we really need to back the blue, I think. I think their jobs are pretty hard, you know.
They're just doing their job.
Exactly. I'm gonna clip that out of context and I'm gonna save it for when they become enemies.
Please don't.
We're all talking about Sonic, correct?
Oh yeah.
No, I hate that movie. God.
That is the only what? Man.
He's more than that old deck.
I will be honest, I cried at the end of Sonic the movie.
The fact that you watched the Sonic movie is why I said we can't be on the same playlist together.
Wow. Well, so is anyone looking for a drummer?
You're not even going to be the drummer of Guilt in like a year. You're going to be the front person.
Should we have to not tell everybody? Well, yeah, probably.
Coming down the pipeline now.
All jokes.
Big news. But yeah, so shit, I think sucks as usual. Everything still sucks all the time. Nothing is good.
Is this the cold
still.
Open and it's just shit sucks? That was the cold open.
Actually, shit sucks.
That was actually, hold on. So we have
a
Google
Doc. Third
doc.
Line in the document.
Yeah. So we've got the episode guide title at the top and then all y'all's names and what you do in the band. And then it says intro, still 2020, shit still sucks all over the place. And Jacob said very specifically before we started, like, hey, this is nothing. I don't want to be all depresso on the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you got us for.
Well, the thing is. Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. I feel like you guys have released possibly the perfect music for this time in our lives. Because Ignore What's Missing was LP1, right? Like that.
Yeah.
That was the first one for you guys?
Yeah, LP.
That's fucking huge. So congratulations, first of all, on that. That's so awesome to be able to do that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
But it rocks, obviously. It's super good. I've been listening to it and I, like I said, I feel like it's just the perfect music for this moment that we're in where everyone just, I think you did I think it was a bio on your Bandcamp that really sold it for me. That really put it into perspective. And I've just gone to bandcamp.com now, so that's not going to work. But
have you alternated crying into and then furiously punching your pillow today? If not,
that's
let
right.
us help.
That's right, yeah. So that's exactly the vibe that I've been getting. I've just been waking up and screaming in agony and listening to it and just kind of putting it all together and feeling good. So I appreciate you guys doing that. You know, I feel like in this awful world that we live in, it's kind of nice to be able to listen to music like that and know that other people are kind of feeling a similar way to you do. So, I appreciate you guys doing that, and I appreciate you guys coming on to talk about that a little bit. How is releasing an album been during quarantine? I mean, that's tough, right? I would assume that's not part of the plan.
So the plan was to do a 2-month tour because we're a touring band, right? That's like our whole thing. And we had this, we were going to play Pooza Fest in Canada, and we were going to play Fest again here, and we're going to do the whole East Coast. And then we just didn't because we couldn't. And I guess we could if we were assholes. But anyhow, we couldn't. And then we decided it's time to learn how to use the internet. And most of us have done pretty well. Me, not so much.
Well, you drive the van.
I drive the van. That's my thing. Yes.
Perfect. I feel like I would do very well as a driver and not much else. I feel like that I can take care of.
Absolutely.
What are the rules as far as aux in the van? Like for when, who, like, you know what I mean? Like, do you get it if you're driving? Is it a rotation?
Yes.
What's the setup?
Yes. And I'm always driving, but, I am a benevolent God and I let everybody like hand it back and forth until they all inevitably fall asleep. And then it's just me listening to the same playlist I've been listening to since I was like 16.
It's like a Conor Oberst album, and then like I get to put on one Modest Mouse song, and then it's back to a new Conor Oberst album, and then Nico puts on like
Pinback.
Some Pinback. That one song by Tokyo Police Club. I mean, it's good.
That's incredible.
Ash doesn't get the aux.
Ash does not get the aux.
All right.
What did Ash play? I would love to know what Ash played in order to earn the aux ban.
All right, listen. I don't know what they're talking about. I play the serene music of Motionless and What and Vocaloid.
I see.
And
okay.
Everything else.
I'm actually starting to side with them now.
No. I did play Mother Mother one time and everyone was like,
what?
Okay. Yes, I did. Because I remember specifically Tristan was like
back then?
That was in Nico's Kia Soul, not the van.
No, it was in the van because tour.
No, it wasn't. No, it was during recording.
I am gonna scream. I remember it was in the van because you were in the back, Tris, and you're like, I don't like the vocals. And you're like, what are these vocals?
Ash, I have a photographic memory. It's terrifying.
No, you don't. What?
This just in. Guilt breaks up over aux cord.
This just in. Somebody's anyhow, lying.
It's not. Listen.
Ash kind of sus.
Ash kind of sus. Call an emergency meeting. That joke is going to fucking hit in 3 months when that game is.
That is what our group chat is named. Ash kind of sus.
I don't know how. Everyone's like, yeah, Ash is kind of sus. I literally am just I'm trying to swipe my card the 50th time.
I have not been able to get my Discord and online friends will play that game with me. I've not been able to get my real life friends to play it with me. Sans, my girlfriend, who will play it with me, and actually likes the game way more than I do now, and has been playing nonstop just solo online games and just like wiping the floor with everybody. So I went over to her place not long ago, like 4 days after she downloaded it, and she's got like just hours and hours. I can't imagine playing that game online solo, just like in the text chat being like, Orange saw it. They did it. I saw Orange do it.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice when all of the people like type and they'll like actually engage with you. But most of the games that I get, it's just one or two people like typing. Yeah. And so we're all just trying to figure out what happened. But the imposter is just like not saying a word.
It's nice when you're able to get everybody like in a voice channel. That's primo. Yeah, way to do it. Like
that's the dream.
A bunch of online friends to do it. That's fantastic.
Plus, like text takes forever.
It's really janky and it's like really hard to get it. It takes forever, and I feel like I can't type as well as I can just like express myself. I guess that's why I'm a podcaster. I'm not a writer.
And Jacob, do you get Yes. You do get yeeted at the beginning of every game, right?
I get yeeted at the beginning of most games because I am classically insanely bad at the game.
Just he will vouch for the imposter 100% of the time. Like, no, I saw him in Electrical. We were there.
He's a good guy.
I will straight up be like, listen, I saw this person do the admin swipe, and then it'll still be. I have no idea what it is, but. Every time I say something, the opposite just happens to be true. So they usually end up just kicking me out when the game starts. But
oh no!
Yeah, that's good.
That's been a lot of fun. I'm sure that bit will age really, really well as time goes on. In just a few months, and nobody knows what that game is. They did cancel the second one. They were very upfront about like, hey, we're in the mood to do the second one, and now they've already said we're not doing that. We're going to just update the main one, which is good. Yeah. I mean, I'll take that.
Nice.
But it is Friday, which means there's a fuck ton of new music out today, and there's a fuck ton of new shit that's come out, especially just today that we've been listening to. I think maybe Robin and I have been listening to different things today, it sounds like.
New idols.
I had asked Robin to listen to your guys' album just in preparation. I'm not sure if he quite got around to finishing that one up or not.
I listened to the, it's kind of a running thing that I suck at preparing for this podcast, but I listened to the first song. I listened to the first two songs on Ignore What's Missing. Okay. And they were very good. And to be fair, I had listened to you before, like right when that Northside Tavern show was announced. I was like, okay, I should like listen to some stuff. I was like, oh yeah, they're pretty good. And then
the album wasn't out at the time, was it? Yeah,
correct. Yeah, so that was like Jacob was like, oh, Guilt like reached out and wanted to be on the show. I was like, oh shit, okay. And then I like listened to the first couple songs on the record, and it's pretty good. It's good shit.
Thank you.
I'm with Jacob on the I feel like I can't go as far as saying it fucking rules until I've heard the whole thing, you know.
I did write it fucking rules in
the he thing. Did write That's it really fucking fair. Rules in here.
I said LP1
but so far I will say it fucking rules. So
it's gonna just it's got some twists and turns. Yeah.
I Robin, I would love to hear if you didn't listen to that album today. I would love to know what you have been listening to on this new release, mm-hmm. Music Friday. Mm-hmm.
And okay, so he's really trying to out me here. I did listen to the pop punk MGK album.
Steering it as hard as I possibly can towards getting you to say that.
And I am classically not an MGK fan, but there's some bops on there.
I'm not listening to it. I won't be listening.
I mean, it's what Blink should have been doing for the last like 10 years, but they went on that weird, like,
what Blink should have been doing for the last 10 years is sitting in a pool and not shit. Don't do anything. Stay off Twitter. Stay off the internet. Stay out of the studio. I would personally be fine if Mark Hoppus just didn't come back ever. He just was gone.
Let's just make Alkaline Trio happen again.
What was that meme of you, like, the world we have progressed, society has progressed past the need for Mark Hoppus?
Yes.
Like, we don't need him anymore. He's finished. Tom is doing his own shit with the UFOs and
which we now know are real, so I mean, I guess which he's done, fucking, right?
I guess he figured it out. So big ups to Tom DeLonge.
We all talked shit on Tom.
Yeah, we talked some major shit, wrong. But he was right.
Speaking of shit talking, I'm putting something in the Discord chat.
Yeah.
This is a Brooklyn Vegan article that, like, my other band chat was talking about.
I read this.
Calling out idols. Okay, can we talk about that?
Well, I don't know if this is the same. Well, yeah, absolutely, yes. But I don't know if this is the same one I read last year. This is
the TLDR is basically this band is like they're self-describing as growing up in a working class family, which in my mind is like middle class, but I think when they say working class, they mean what we would call poor.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're basically saying that idols is like mostly like basically like rich kids who are singing songs that make them sound like they're like working class heroes.
Yeah.
And that they're basically like Democrats. It's all like rah rah, you know, we love minorities, but there's no like depth to it. And I was like, I love idols. And I think that that's really harsh because it's not like you can just be poorer. And this is a thing that we talk about in the van a lot. We talk about extremely heady stuff. Like, what's the most ethical way you could be if you're born wealthy?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like other bands are like, do you want to stop and get weed? And we're just like, do you think that having a racial preference is bad? So what's your spin on idols? And also, this applies to my bandmates who I've not talked about this at all with.
I am not super duper familiar with idol, but I mean, you're right. I think that's definitely a conversation worth having, especially in an industry where you have so many people that are like, definitely, I don't want to say like pushed on you, but like, you have people that have more backing, whether it's a label or just a person with money or whatever it is. And you know, you have people that have worked for it. And I think that's super important to consider whenever you're consuming that content, whether, you know, that's why I think that's why I consume the music that I do. I listen to bands that might not be signed or don't have the biggest followings. And maybe, I don't know, like maybe the quality isn't as good. Maybe the recording sucks sometimes. Like, there's something so much more satisfying to me to be able to like support an actual artist that is trying to do this as their life and their career and their passion than it is for me to like buy the newest, I don't know, like water parks, like as a very extreme example, like buy the newest water park shirt or whatever. Like, that is a band who came out of nowhere, pushed heavily by their label, on the cover of like alt press for just no fucking reason,
and now
they're in the conversation. Why do they even have to be included? I don't even want to hear about it in the first place. I don't want to have to dislike water parks because I don't want to give a fuck about water parks in the first place. Yeah. I don't need to know what his Jake Paul ass is doing on Twitter all day. I don't give a fuck about that man.
That was perfect.
Idols I don't know as much of, but I feel like I read something that was similar to this from someone else. I don't remember where it was or who it was.
Well, this is like the kind of culmination of a long-standing beef between this other band and idols.
And it seems like some really vicious beef, like referring to them as self-neutering middle-class boobs. Like, that's a hell of an insult.
Hey,
I was coming from someone from fat white family, so...
I think the thing one of y'all might be referencing is because I saw something else about idols. I am reading through this, but I saw that they were, you know, booking like a tour or something, or maybe for like 2021, where they were complaining about, you know, the fact that they, that it was hard for them to book, like, or their label or whoever was booking it was like, it was hard for them to book like bands with like femme presentation.
Yes, I think that might have been what it was.
Yeah, because I saw that all over Twitter the other day. Or, you know, it blasted for like an hour or whatever.
Wait, okay. So were they getting blasted because they were like tokenizing or?
No, it's. I personally feel like. I feel like with the information that was presented, there's not enough there to like actually have a discussion about it, because I seriously doubt that Idols books their own tours.
Yeah.
And
definitely not.
You know what I mean? And I'm also pretty sure that whoever controls, I think it's probably, and I'm not saying, you know, feel bad for them, but I think it's probably difficult for a band with the popularity and the image that they do, having that being built on, you know, like being like progressive and putting up this sort of like working class thing where and then also having a bunch of fucking money and then being told what to do with it by a label and stuff. I'm sure it's difficult. I would not want to be in that position, but you know, it does open you up to critiques like this. And I don't think anybody's wrong in this case, but it's super fucking hard to have money and also write songs about being poor. Like, what the fuck is that?
Well, that's, and we talked about that. What episode we kind of talked about that in a different way, but like in a more roundabout way, we talked about like, I guess maybe we were talking about Blink again, but we were talking about how it's so weird to like hear 40-year-old guys write songs about like drinking beer and living for the weekend, because it's not what you're doing anymore. And it also, it's that same sense of like not feeling like you're being totally forthcoming, or like maybe you're not, maybe it's not the most honest music that exists.
Yeah, I think that was what we said, because we were talking about Neck Deep and the album just feeling very honest.
Okay, but like on the other end of that spectrum, like I don't like anything the Front Bottoms have done after like Talon, because they're aging and they're not singing songs about like smoking pot in a parking lot anymore, and it's like I don't want to hear your kind of just very pleasant but very average just adult person music about how great that one town is. It just sounds like a tourist song. I don't even remember the name of it.
It's okay for bands to, you know, like art is definitely reflective of like, you know, the experience of the person making it and also the time in which it was created. It's okay to like have one really good album and then not.
Absolutely.
I don't think people should hold your expectations up to, you know, oh, this band's coming out with an album, it's got to be just as good. Probably isn't.
Well, I mean, I guess the question is, should they be
for
talking
idols,
about what's going on in their life, or, you know, in that, in
like,
that way to be the most honest, or are they allowed to take creative liberty and say, hey, I can relate to this thing because either I went through it or like I think the idols thing is basically like half the band actually was working class. It's just not the singer.
Yeah. I have experienced this at some point, but even if I'm not right now, I can at least still relate to it. Which, like, I guess that's the pitch, but like, I don't know.
I think a good example. I know we were talking about the whole New Music Friday and thing. This album came out last week, but like a good example of a band like kind of maturing, not just their sound, but also like some of the stuff that they're fucking singing about. Have you all heard the new Movements record?
No.
No?
I don't think so.
Highly recommend
Ash,
checking out the
Ash seems
Movements
like the
record,
Movements fan, Ash.
I used to listen to Movements, but I haven't.
Oh, look, I guess right.
Good job. I would give Ash the ox if Ash played, if Ash played Movements.
You are a fucking Robin likes
Movements.
Robin likes Ice Nine Kills, so don't take it.
Oh,
Ash
was in a music video for them.
Video?
Hell in the Hallways. Oh my god, now that I'm thinking about it, my skin is starting to crawl. Oh my god.
Oh no.
It's just,
me
it's
too.
Just,
that's why I don't get the ox.
It was like such a, they were like, hey, like anyone in the Massachusetts area, and I live nowhere near Massachusetts. I was like, Mom, we have to go. And she's like, why? And I'm like, because it's, I gotta go. And right. sure enough, she drove me and my friend 4-ish hours to this music video shoot where I had to wear like a 70s prom dress and
I ran around.
Oh, yeah. I also had to dance with someone for a very awkwardly long amount of time. And I did not,
that's not good.
That sounds bad.
It's rough.
Yeah. Listen, I got into that band in a very low point of my life, and there are several other bands that we have mentioned on this show that I will not be discussing that I got into at the similar time.
True.
That I'm not proud of, but...
Well, you know. I can be not proud of it for you and just continue to roast it.
That's me.
Listen, you guys want to take a quick break? Like 5 or 10 minutes? We'll be right back.
Sure.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break and
we'll be right back with more. Your band is garbage.
Hey, Robin. How are you doing? Are you having a good show so far? Because we're recording this at a different time than we, you know what I mean, are doing the main show at the normal.
It's been sort good so far.
Two different timelines kind of coming together right there.
I think we've had some good jokes, and the guest is pretty great. And I have
whoever the guest is right now is awesome. I know guest
myself
or guests.
At all by not listening to the record again or anything like that.
Absolutely.
But we did. The reason we're doing this is because we have an important message for our listeners. You can feel free to write into the podcast at what's the email?
Okay, and you don't even have the email address pulled up.
Okay, hold
Are
on.
Are you serious, dude?
It's ybigpodcast@gmail.com. Again, that's ybigpodcast@gmail.com. You can write in and tell us what you think about the show, what you want to hear more of. What you hated, specifically if it's about Jacob, I'd love to hear things that we can do to kind of improve his abilities around the show and maybe his editing and making sure that things sound clean. There's not any weird stuff.
Doing my best.
And you can be a featured guest on the episode. This week's featured guest is our good friend Keelan Jameson. He writes in, "Hey, y'all, I was really proud of our Boomer Band episode. I thought I was very funny, and I had fun. So anyway,
awesome.
I'm still waiting on my payment of Jewel Pods that was promised to me. Okay. I'm not sure if you are shipping them or what, but I would like them soon. Thank you,
Keelan. You didn't have to read the second half of it.
Keelan Jameson.
I specifically put a line in there so you wouldn't read the second half, but okay.
Oh, shit. Okay. Well, I think the reason that there's the hold up on those Jewel Pods is that you asked specifically for the mint ones. They don't they don't make those anymore. So
sorry, Keelan.
Yeah, sorry about that. We can talk terms maybe on the next step that we have you on. So
anyway. All right, well. You can also follow us on Twitter, YBIG Podcast. Thanks. So what's up? We're still doing the show, I guess, apparently. And we still have guilt with us. So I appreciate y'all hanging.
We're still
guys,
garbage.
We're getting near to the second half of the show. So, it's about time that I ask, and I'm doing the really slow build up to this one just to really, you know what I mean? Just really point out,
really drive it home,
really drive it home what's happening here. But if
kind of beating a dead horse at this point,
almost overdoing it. I would argue. I would say, guys, if you don't mind, if you could tell me why your band is garbage.
Oh. So. I love that.
Well, I mean, you know, we're...
You could just look at live videos of us.
We're just another femme-fronted band. I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you get that used as a label a lot? I feel like you... you would.
Nico has gotten compared to Hayley Williams, and we had another AFAB person in the band who's gotten compared to Hayley Williams. But Ash has never been compared to Hayley Williams.
And that's weird.
That is... What?
Like, I don't get it.
That's crazy. It's crazy because, like, objectively, that is a compliment. I do like Hayley Williams, but...
Love her.
Like, just, I've never met any female vocalist in any band that has not gotten that comparison.
No, it's Ash. That's what I'm saying. It's Ash. I think that now those people should feel bad and racist.
I think you should feel bad all the time. I think it's part of being a human.
I think everybody should. Anyhow, sorry, Nico, please.
Oh, I was just saying, like, I mean, I've gotten some pretty weird, but, like, I've also gotten some pretty nice comments, some that I think about a lot, like, two people told me one time that I sounded like the vocalist from I Hate Sex, and that made my heart very happy inside.
That's sick.
But yes, I've gone compared to Hayley Williams once, I think, and I completely forgot about that
just to your face, I guess, because I get told a lot that you look and sound like Hayley. I don't even think it's sound. They just look at you and say, Hayley Williams.
They see colored hair and they're like, holy shit, is that Hayley Williams?
Did you see any colors?
Someone walking into a show would be like, holy fucking shit, is that Hayley Williams?
Just like just walking into a turning store. And looking to the right and be like, holy shit, is that Hayley Williams?
Oh
like,
my fucking walking around God! The crowd. Is that Hayley fucking Williams?
It's like an old Italian uncle, like right. In a family reunion, you know?
Exactly. Nice. Is he always looking for Hayley Williams?
Yeah.
But don't get your uncle.
Aren't we all on the path, you know, to Hayley Williams? We're all trying ideally, to reach that level.
I would love to one day be described as an industry plant. I would love somebody to think that the industry purchased me to get to start with.
Do people think that she's an industry plant? I hadn't heard that.
Oh, it's not that people think. It's a well-known fact, but
for real?
Yeah,
that's
news
to me.
Like, she was like 14 and she was like singing in like church groups, but also like, you know, wherever she's from, they had connections to somebody, or it's like Billie Eilish, somebody's family was something, and they were like,
family,
hey, we have this band and we want to put you in it. And it just off they went, and that was Paramore. But like, she was like a decent person, and they were like, just kidding, we want you to be a solo act. And she was like, no, I want to stay with the band. Like, I like being in this band. So, you know, there's some integrity there, but at the end of the day, she was just like a teen singer who somebody threw into a band.
That's she also really proved her talent, though. I mean, she is good, but I mean, our band is garbage
because we're not talented or young.
It's true, and also we're also what was it? What was that veganism thing? That Reddit? I mean, remember that Reddit comment not, that got
oh,
deleted?
Okay. So we did a Reddit AMA, and I'm new.
On r/emo.
Yeah. Oh, I'm new to the internet. So everybody was like posting questions, and this one person, and it got really serious, and they were like, you're all about like equality and like activism and stuff. How come you don't care? Oh, they said you're like gender inclusive, but they ended up putting their foot in their mouth and just saying like, you have women in the band, and like I understand if they everyone was just like hammering them. I was like, I get it, you like look at somebody and you don't know, so I mean, yeah, you shouldn't assume, but I was looking past that to what they were really saying was, why aren't you like championing veganism? And honestly, I thought that was a very fair question. Like,
yeah.
And it ended up getting downvoted so much that the person deleted it, and I felt really bad. And then somebody said, what's your stance on Israel? And I was just like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, so on the second half of the show, if we're going to go over...
You really can't be doing that.
All right, guys, second half of the show, we are going to be going over the Israel-Palestine conflict. So get your fucking notebooks out.
And I'm 1/8 Lebanese, so this is going to get spicy.
Nice.
Kind of like 1/8 of your food.
So we're garbage because we're not vegan, and we honestly admitted that we just don't know enough about that conflict to make a statement.
Yeah. I have
garbage.
I've considered veganism, and I think that would ultimately obviously be the right thing to do. I would love to be a vegan, but
It's actually fun. I mean, I'm not vegan anymore. I actually, since pandemic, I kind of started going back to eating meat, and I was eating cheese for a while. So I was, but there was a like a solid year straight where I was vegan, and it makes you a lot more. I'd say the biggest thing it did for me is if you're not sort of like culinary or like what's the word? If you're not like cooking your own stuff, you're going to get.
You're gonna learn.
Yeah, because you're gonna get really fucking like lethargic with just eating potatoes really fast. So like,
well, that and Morningstar patties, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So you do have to. It makes you cook for yourself, and that actually, I'm very, very thankful for that. Of course, there's more important ethical things going on there. You know, but I don't know.
I think I will continue hate eating just frozen taquitos every night at like midnight.
They don't make fucking bean and cheese taquitos. Like they could just I know that's vegetarian and not vegan, but why is it always chicken and beef? I have looked at every single store that isn't like, I don't know, I don't want to go to like the good part of town and go to Trader Joe's and spend fucking $16 on some frozen taquitos.
You're gonna slam at 3 a.m.
Wait, Nico, were you vegetarian or vegan?
I was a vegan and then I transitioned to vegetarian.
Tristan was vegan for a year. How long were you vegan? I don't think we've ever discussed this.
I was vegan for a couple years, and then I transitioned into being vegetarian.
Damn, get dunked, Tristan.
That's my depression got really bad, and then I got
a cyber condition.
So it's been, I'm also anxious all the time, so it's very hard for me to make food.
It just keeps getting sadder.
It's a conversation I have with myself all the time because I think it's very important to be aware of it. And also, I am Latin, so like my culture is a lot of meat products. Yeah. So growing up, like when I first became vegetarian, not vegan, my parents thought I was trying to kill myself because they were like, what are you going to eat? Like, you're going to starve. And I was like, no,
far off base, mom and dad.
There's a lot of things that don't have meat in it.
Right.
We're just not expanding our palates, and that's fine. But I think I've had a lot of people like not attack me personally, but a lot of people get upset at those who aren't vegan or vegetarian.
Yeah.
And while I do understand, like, there's also like classism. There's a lot of things to talk about and culture and stuff like that. And I feel like be conscious about it, but like I was on I got a food from the government for a really long time. What's that called?
Food pantry.
I didn't really have a choice of what I was gonna eat, and I had a lot of people be like, it's really shitty that you're eating meat, and I was like, I have no other option right now, and I feel like it's a waste to throw it out, you know? So
absolutely.
Which is why I wish that comment would have stayed. Ugh.
Yeah, I really don't get upset when people criticize, like, people or anything in general. Like, I think it's important, especially if, you know, somebody's contradicting themselves. But I think my answer for that is, like, a lot of shit. And I'm conscious about it, and I'm trying to make an effort. But it's hard at the end of the day.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely, 100%. No,
that's my end goal, though, to try to eliminate. Like, I've stopped drinking dairy. I don't like it. It makes me sick. But I still.
It is second. Didn't your coffee have creamer the other day?
I don't know what you're talking about.
It was oat
milk. Didn't you say we couldn't leave it in the car because the dairy would go bad?
We're that garbage. Could. The case.
Roasted. Absolutely roasted.
Wow.
Sometimes I have a leak in my.
It's messed up because that was Nico's birthday. Coffee. I'm roasting them for something they did on their birthday.
Listen, we didn't go to Dunkin', and they have the oat milk at Dunkin', and I got a gas station coffee because I was sleepy.
Oat milk, I think, is probably the best milk substitute that I've had. I know people are skeeved out with the idea of drinking something called oat milk if you've not had it, but
so
I really do highly recommend.
think that's what everybody says. Like almond milk. That seems to be the universal opinion. Almond milk seems divisive. It's very bad if it's not like vanilla flavored.
I'm a fan of almond milk. I use it in my coffee, but I also don't drink like quality coffee.
Almond milk used to make me sick. I don't know why. I would just get very nauseous.
But yeah.
All right, never mind. That's why we're milk sucks. I'm on the other side now.
Oh, yeah.
Quick thing. Because it just sort of popped up into my mind, and I wanted to ask the rest of Guild, but like, do y'all think that there's? So I was thinking about that sign in St. Augustine. Is it for that one barbecue place that says Vegetarian Recovery Center or whatever? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Do you think? Do you
smoking
think
D's.
Do you think there's a culture in the South, like around, like, I don't know, like, not liking veganism?
Okay. So this is what our back before, definitely before Ash is in the band. I think maybe before Nico too. In Guilt's like first kind of in-state tour,
Lloyd Have Mercy.
No, not that. So Tristan was at the time in their vegan thing, but our original drummer, his parents raised him to be like a football player, and he literally didn't eat vegetables, like. He had no concept of like a balanced nutrition because, and this was grown adults who are actually very responsible people.
Oh, yeah.
Purposefully raising him to just sort of be as bulky as possible. And so when we were going on tour, it was like, where do we go eat? Because I'm a very persnickety van driver. I'm like, I'm not going to drive around town. We all need to decide where we're going to go. We're all going to go to one place. We're all going to eat at the same time. Yeah, exactly. And it was like, where can we go that a vegan and a person who explicitly doesn't eat vegetables can go at the same time? But like, the fact that I think sports culture is so big here, like, I think that there are people who specifically, they say that they're carnivores and they're not joking. Totally.
Yeah.
It's going to lead to anti-vegan sentiment.
That makes sense. Yeah. Never thought about it.
Yeah. I think about that all the time. There are definitely like psycho no vegetable ass type people out here. That definitely
just
exists.
Eating
here.
Your weird ass chili.
Well, the chili's good, so.
Sorry.
I think it's fine. I think specialty anything, like boutique specialty anything is cool. Like if you're going to have a hardcore, like, what's that? I want to say like biblical grains. Whatever. There's a fad where it's like only stuff that they had like in the Bible and that in like the Middle East.
I've heard of that. It's like
ancient grains. Ancient grains.
What's the one that's called, like, it starts with a P? And it's for keto. A period of.
No, that's keto.
Yeah, paleo. Paleo. That's what.
Oh,
I'm
paleo. There. Yeah.
That's
so like
fucking,
I think
I like
it's,
looked
it's
up that
cool.
That was. It's wild.
Yeah, there was my dad is a pastor and also just generally spends his time looking up like religious stuff. And for, I want to say like a year and some change, he was obsessed with the idea that back in the day, they only ate like melons and like melon based food. And he like, he also is like disabled and he goes to the VA all the time. And they were like, you're going to have to be on medicine for the rest of your life. And he was like, I just ate melons for a year. And like, I got my cholesterol fixed. I got my blood pressure fixed. And like, he doesn't do that anymore. But like, I think radical diets can have their place. And I, you know, if you want to have an all vegan place, we should have an all carnivore place. But by the same token, like, you, I don't know. It's one thing if it's like joking, like kind of high school football rivalry, but when it's actually condescending or mean or, you know, like ostracizing people, like,
yeah,
I think that's where it should be.
Yeah, that's a weird, like, I get that that sign is like, you know, just a joke that there's a bunch of meat here. But,
yeah.
And the meat is
you're
good.
You're right. I believe that the meat was good. It sounds, I would honestly, if I saw that sign at a barbecue place, I would pull in. Even if I had already had a meal, I would go get something just to have in the seat for when I got wherever I was going. But it sounds like it was probably pretty good. I would love to hear about the meth house or whatever that was.
Oh, okay. It's well, you said
a
to tell
sad story, Tyler.
All right. Well, I mean, we might not have.
No, okay. I can. There's
it, fun in it. There's light.
It's,
there's
it's like ogres. It has onions. So
it has layers.
It has layers.
If you're gonna, you know what? Anyways,
you like Ice Nine Kills.
Yeah. And Shrek.
Got him.
And what? And what?
So anyhow,
Robin's unmuted. Robin's ready.
I was actually gonna bring up the meth house thing in a second. I'm very proud of you for once being focused on the podcast and really helping us helping us move forward.
In front of a live studio audience.
We were on tour in Houston, and our friends set us up the show at this house, and we rolled up, and the house had, it was a two-story house, and it had a big yard all around it, and it had like, I want to say fence, but it was more like a wall, and it was just like scrap metal, and it was cool. Yeah, we got there, and a guy who looked like, and I'm not kidding, he looked like Pitbull, was running door, and he tried to charge us money, and we kept trying to be like, no, we're playing. And he's like, oh no. And I was like, so anyhow, we got in there. The house actually had a stage built into it, which is, it was just like one emptied out room. And like, it seemed like this was a thing they did regularly. The kitchen had barn doors, and there was somebody in there just reading like a book, making no eye contact and selling sodas. But the floor also had like holes in it, and like there was no PA. So
we had to piece together this fucking shitty PA with like computer monitors for the monitors. It was so fun.
It was very bad. The leader of this house, we ended up getting told, was kind of like a place for people who had traumatic injuries and like brain damage and stuff. And this guy was kind of like rehabilitating them, and he had this very like guru-esque vibe about him. And outside there was like, he when we first saw him, he was just like painting on like his side of the wall, but he was like introducing us to some very like Jared Leto's cult. But so he had this like box, basically like very thin box, and we were like, what's that? And he's like, oh, like get up on the box. And we did it, and it was kind of a game where you tried to push the other person over without falling. And it kind of got into this like Tai Chi mindset where it was very like, it was about finding your balance. And I lost to him, and I have a black belt.
I lost
like,
to him too.
And,
yeah, my story was going to be that we're garbage because I lost to Tai Chi at this guy's house in the middle of Houston, Texas. Wow. But then I guess I shouldn't have said that it was a meth house, because then I feel like I have to tell the rest of the story. So,
there's
the
more.
The continuation of that.
So much more.
Yeah. The continuation of that story is that the show gets underway after we do piece the PA together out of like somebody's computer speakers, and our friends who set up the show were sitting in their car. Now the cars are parked on the outside of the wall, on the street side of the wall, so we can't see them from the house. But they had gone out to their car, and they were sitting in the front, you know, like you do at shows. And they said that they saw the guy who was running door trying to open our van, and like to no success, right? So he's not gonna like break in. So he's just trying. Like, it's like, it's if it's convenient to steal. So he goes to their car and doesn't realize that they're in it. So he opens the back door, and of course it's unlocked because they're sitting in the car. And he just starts taking stuff, and they turn around and they're like, hey man, what are you doing? And he looks at them just like dead ass in the eyes, and just slowly puts the stuff down and says, I'm sorry, I don't usually do this.
Oh, I find that extremely hard to believe.
Yeah. But it like, was fucking hilarious.
Like, what a thing to say. Like, anytime you're in trouble for the rest of your life, if you get pulled over and a cop is like, you know, watched you just commit murder, the cop finally saw somebody kill Ben Shapiro.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if they see the gun in your hand, you just look at them and just say, sorry, I don't usually do this. Like, this is the only murder you've committed that makes it okay.
Well, you know, you're not yourself when you're hungry. Someone should have got that guy a Snickers.
Dude, poor dude needed a Snickers. But so, also,
you should make a fucking Snickers joke. Is that what that was for real, dude?
I'm hoping to maybe get a sponsorship, all right?
Listen, I feel like
gotta put in,
if
like,
anything,
Snickers,
this podcast would get a Snickers podcast.
Snickers is the only candy bar sponsorship that I would not like to have, because I cannot have peanuts, as you well know. So I appreciate starting.
Oh.
I got my car broken into recently. I just parked in my apartment, just like out and back. I leave it unlocked because I don't live in the best part of town, so there's nothing in it worth stealing. So I just leave it unlocked and nobody fucks with it. And I came out to it one day and it was like just trashed. Like someone had just been digging through it. Nothing missing, even like my iPhone cord and stuff were in there, but looks like obviously they were looking to see if there was anything like worth taking. And surprise, there's not. It's just trash. I live like a pig. Sorry.
Out of 10, how was it?
Like on a scale of how fucked up it was, like maybe like a 3, like not even bad, okay. But like just noticeable that somebody had been in it. So I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. Like I feel weird about that, but oh, well, yeah. Whatever. It happens. I left it unlocked. That's expected. So I am currently working from home because, COVID, but, sure. I work in my office and I have my work at home desk and I can see out the window. So like literally 3 days after that happened, I was sitting at my desk just working at like 4 p.m. and this woman just walks into our parking lot and I can see my car is maybe 100 feet from my window. Like I can see it right now. And she just like opens the door and sits down in it. And I'm like, I fucking can't believe this is happening in front of me. So I just ran outside and was like, absolutely fucking not. And she just literally got out, literally said, sorry about that, and ran. Just left. So as far as shit you can say while getting caught doing a crime, I would say sorry about that, and I don't normally do this, are two of my top 5.
So it progresses. There's more. So he says, I'm sorry, I don't usually do this, but they get super upset. They go to tell the house owner, the spiritual guru guy about it, and he's like, I'm so sorry, like, that, you know, he's got a problem, he's got like terminal, like brain damage. He's, you know, he doesn't usually whatever. And we don't usually have problems with this at shows. And we're aware that there are other people at the house because we've seen them, but like we haven't been able to keep eyes on them.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the house, like the vibe just kind of flips. So the band start getting pissy and they're asking for the payout so we could just cancel the show halfway through. And the guy is being sketchy about giving the money back. So the cops get called, long story short.
The Pitbull guy and then the main guy ended up getting into a brawl.
They fought. Not the bands and the house people, but just the house leader guy. So anyhow, the show gets relocated to our friends' like rehearsal space. And when we get there, we're talking about how, like, you know, crazy this or how wild this whole event was.
We did get paid out, to be fair.
Oh, yeah. No, we did. Everything worked out for us. Nobody got hurt. So,
yes,
we're talking about how wild this is. And the person from the last band that's going to play is sitting in the room talking with me. And I'm relaying, because not everybody was, like, up to speed on what was happening. And I was relaying this story. And he goes, oh, you didn't know that's a meth house? And I was like, what? And he goes, yeah, I used to date this girl and then she got like really bad strung out on meth, which is very sad. Like he was telling it to me and it was like an unnervingly kind of jovial way.
Yeah, saying it almost like as an insult for some reason.
Yeah, like she got really bad strung out and like she was like living there for a while and that guy who runs the house, he like makes it and sells it and like everybody there is just like very badly addicted.
Oh, that
and
sucks.
It just kind of hit me that this guy had never been to that house. He later clarified he'd never been there, but he knew about it. He was totally willing to play a show there. And I'm like, this dude has no fear. Like this guy is absolutely like the definition of like a punk. It's just like, there
that's
fucking
a real crust
danger
punk shit
around all corners. Yeah. It's like, it's not that he was like endorsing or saying anything negative about drugs. It was just like the amount of danger you have to know you're putting yourself in. If you've lost a person you were close to like addiction, and this is the place where this is kind of like the hole they fell into. And you're just like, yeah, fuck it. I'll go play guitar there. We got a 20-minute set. We can knock it out before anything gets seriously stolen.
Yeah, I'll make a couple $100. Me. Like, that's fine.
Yeah. It was just like, that was amazing.
Yeah. That is wild. That's absolutely insane for that to be like, for you to know all of this stuff going in and then just be like, yep, sign me up. I'm in.
Yep. Yeah. And that, I think, like, we're not, like, I mean, there are elements of like musical punk rock in our music. And I would say that because of all the activism stuff we do, we are punks, but we're not like what you would think of, you know, when you think of like crusties. But we've spent a lot of time with those people because we don't book tours with like a, hey, let's make sure we're playing with other emo bands in mind. It's like, let's find punks. And like, right. In that
so
sense,
many good ones.
But like I think in that way we are that kind of garbage. Like we're like trash punk crusty,
yeah,
whatever, even though we don't look like it whatsoever. I think that's why that story came to mind, is like that's like a normal evening for us. That's like
an evening with guilt.
I think there's a very to tack on to Tyler, please finish whatever you were saying before talk. Okay. To tack on to what Tyler's saying, I think there is like, and you know, this is like, I don't know how to frame this. This is like, you know, coming from someone who thankfully has lived like, I mean, you know, I'm white, I'm mass presenting, I'm blonde hair, blue eyed, 6'5". Like, you know, I live a pretty privileged life in comparison to other people, like without a doubt. But I think in emo, and this isn't across the board, but I think a lot of times in emo, you can see trends of bands that like won't play with other bands because maybe they're a little too punk or I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I noticed the crossover between emo bands and pop punk, where like, I don't know, pop punk is just so like, some pop punk boys are just so polished, and it's like, play with a fucking punk band. And
yeah, 100%.
I'm really happy to be in a group where it's like, more so about the politics, I guess. I don't know. We're not that musical.
Like
anyway.
Social awareness. Yeah, I think Nico's the person who was like a real like quote unquote punk with like when you were talking about the veganism stuff. I was like, yeah, you have the animal liberation patch, and the fact that you have a patch vest, you know, like. You actually came
true punk
from
shit.
That. Yeah. And, you know, Ash, on the other hand, has like pneumonias and like goth skirt, and Tristan wears like oversized t-shirt, and I wear like Hot Topic skinny jeans. Like Nico was the one who was a real punk.
Well, to be fair, I did run a folk punk thing for a little while.
Yeah, no.
I feel like that earned some cred, but.
Folk punk, yeah, I feel like, is different.
Yeah, folk punk is different. It's way dirty. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, nothing wrong with that at all. I like a little dirtiness in my music. That's why I listen to this shit. I like to be a little nasty sometimes.
My favorite part about folk punk is when
cut
like
that out. That made me feel weird.
I can see it. The people who like.
Hold on.
Oh, sorry.
What's up? No, you're good.
Sorry. Robin trying to like edge in for it. Go do it. What are you gonna do? It is it a slam
no, no,
on
no, no,
me?
No, no, no. It was the slam on. I don't even remember what you said.
Yeah,
let's keep
fuck
going.
You.
Let's keep going.
Oh,
hey,
why are you
none of
me?
That?
Right?
No, none of that. We are supportive of each other on this podcast, Jacob. How many times do we have to have this conversation?
All right. Did you listen to the album?
So anyway, they were supportive of your guests. They said supportive of you.
Right. We were talking about stuff and
I have no fucking idea what we were talking about. I've lost it completely.
We're talking about real punks.
Oh yeah,
real punks.
Yeah, fuck yeah, real punks.
Well, listen, you all are real punks.
Real punks is not playing show right now during COVID.
That's true.
That's actually the definition. If you look it up in the dictionary,
about somebody from Jacksonville, Florida.
Ooh.
I feel like I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, Jacksonville just had like a big show, and we just saw pictures, and it's bad. And like Jacksonville had like Florida in general has like a so you have a really big, beautiful scene. We have like four DIY bands, and then like five like either metal or alternative rock, like butt rock, Military Wife, like Blue Lives Matter. Like, you know, they wouldn't call themselves a Republican, but they think that they're an independent, but they also like, you know, support
some
troops.
Some real libertarian shit.
Yeah, no, not even as like well like articulated as a libertarian, but they think they're anarchists, but they're actually just assholes. But, yeah, so that. Like there's a lot of crossover out of necessity, and like yeah. I'm not saying that it's good to faction off into your political sides. I think it's important to see what other people are saying, but those people are just playing shows, and it's
yeah,
it's bad.
That's one of the things that I am excited for. Whenever I think you have to be careful whenever you use the word post-COVID, because people are saying that right now, which is insane. But
yeah,
maybe in the rest of the world,
you know, whenever we actually, whenever we actually get to a place, if we ever actually get to a place where we can have, you know, what we would remember as a normal touring, but you know, the ability to be just a normal touring band and do normal shows. If we ever get back to that place, one of the things I am really excited for is, I think, as a result of this and not being able to do this, no matter your success level, for several months, if not years, it's going to be really cool to see what people do when they do come back. And I think there's going to be a lot of crossover, like you mentioned with the genres and stuff. I think a lot of bands probably, you know, I'm sure there are plenty of bands even in this scene that, you know, I don't want to play with them. They're not our vibe. They're not our sound. It's not what I want. You know, I don't want to be associated with them. And I feel like when people do come back together, there's going to be so little of that happening because everyone's just going to be so stoked to get back together and on the road,
yeah,
whenever that is able to happen, that things will just kind of – right, yeah. I mean, you're right. I guess like, quote-unquote going back to normal life, I guess everyone will just forget that we went through this, so.
Yeah, I went back to work and people were like, for there was a beautiful week where there was people who were like, here's like $20 tip, you know, like,
yeah,
like thank God you're out here putting yourself in danger so that we can have our like shitty ice cream. And that was great. And now it's just like back to normal. Like,
yeah,
like,
now they don't even feel bad about not wearing the mask. Like now they actually
People walk in all the time. And it's always the whole family's wearing it, but the dad who's wearing the MAGA hat isn't. And I'm like, I look at the dad and I look at the mom and I know that she's embarrassed, but it's the kind of mom where it's like, you know, you're dating a MAGA guy. So clearly he says the N word and you wish he didn't, but you're not going to tell him not to.
That's not good. No good.
Mm-hmm.
Not good.
Classic. Yeah. Those people don't tip well. Surprise.
I work at a wine bar up here. Doing like fancy fucking wine tastings. Yeah, we basically pour wine for like rich white people and their like bougie ass friends. I was talking to this couple and they were, you know, they walked in and they were like kind of shitty about wearing the mask. Like they were like, do we have to wear this the whole time? And I'm like, it's kind of hard to drink wine through a mask, so no, I guess just take it off, whatever. I think it's stupid that we're even fucking doing that, like wine tasting.
It's weird that you're open.
Yeah. I was talking to them about like a bar in downtown Cincinnati up here that got in trouble for having like a racist dress code. Like they were like very specific about like,
oh, you know, like you have to have your pants pulled up.
Yeah, like pants must be worn with a belt, no sagging, no gym shorts, no like white t-shirt, like a bunch of shit that's like very blatantly targeted at like the community around that bar. Which they ended up like getting in trouble. I was like talking to them about it because they were talking about how like we need to have a dress code because some white guy walked in with like sweatpants and I was talking about how like, well, you know, when you do something like that, like you can end up like excluding people that like you really shouldn't be. And this bar got in trouble downtown because blah, blah, blah. And they were like, that's a shame. Like siding with the bar for having a racist dress code. Like, well, you know, that is a really tough area and it's up and coming. And they're clearly saying it's up and coming because like, white teenagers go to the bars there. Like,
using the word up and coming to describe gentrification is such an insane thing to do. And people just do it.
They mean the money is coming up.
Code. Yeah.
People will just do it. They just say that shit. They really truly believe it. There's some stupid fucking people in this world.
The one good thing about this area, like my parents used to live in Houston. And sometimes the big city like mentality comes out because we'll go out to eat and my mom will go, "Oh, do you think I need to change clothes?" And I'm like, "There's nowhere in this entire state that you can't wear shorts and a t-shirt too. Like, you there are no restaurants that require a jacket. It just doesn't exist. If you can wear it to Walmart legally, you can wear it to the nicest restaurant here, which is like Carrabba's."
Yeah, it's true.
I've never been inside a Carrabba's.
It's fancy, let me tell you. Their plates are like $20 a piece.
It's like Olive Garden's like...
don't even compare those two things.
Like, fucking... No, Olive
Garden... Carrabba's chicken soup like, fucking slaps.
Like, Carrabba's has 100%. Decent food. Like, Olive Garden, you go there for the free salad bowl and then you try to leave.
Tyler, it's true. I don't say this often. STFU. Because Olive Garden is delicious.
Ooh, wow.
Ooh. What?
Okay. Really? Nah, no.
You're going to die on the completely. Olive Garden hill.
You pick that hill to die on? Olive Garden.
I will have die in the Olive Garden.
Why are you choosing Fazoli's? The, like, I just graduated high school restaurant? Go for Cheesecake Factory if you're going to do that.
Cheesecake Factory is good, I will say.
Okay, so if you just graduated high school, there's no reason to go to Olive Garden.
I'm trying to hold on to my youth.
Well, you said you wanted to avoid the good part of town, so that explains why you wouldn't be anywhere near a Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah. You ever been... There's always that... What's that? I guess the fanciest restaurant I can think of is Cheesecake Factory.
Trying to one-up him and be like,
Wait, okay. No, okay, because Tristan and Nico are from the same area. No, Nico, can you corroborate this? I need to know if this is fact. Ash was in Connecticut where all the rich white people are. I don't even want to know what the fuck it was in Connecticut.
Well, Vero has some fancy places, without a doubt.
But I don't. I've never gone to them.
Vero has some nice places. It's got like an outlet mall and shit. So it's, you know, it's kind of fancy.
It's got an outlet mall.
But, well, there's different parts of Vero. I mean, Nico can speak to this so much more. But, like, I'm Nico, from, like, Fort
What
Pierce,
is the fanciest place in your area?
It's a little bit different.
Even know the name of it, if I'm gonna be honest.
Is it, does it look like it has a cheesecake as the logo? Does it look kind of like a factory?
Do you think that looks like a factory?
When
you
go no, in? It doesn't at all.
You think that's what factories look like? You walk into a factory and it's got the cool ceilings and you're like, damn, actually this could be cool.
Well, you've got like actual like repurposed factory buildings in the Northeast, right? Where like I remember like going around like Massachusetts on tour and being like, wow, this is literally like a factory building, and in Florida nothing has lasted more than 5 years because the, you know, the hurricanes. Yeah, we don't have old factory buildings. I don't know what they look like.
A Cheesecake Factory in fucking Fort Matanzas or whatever.
Yeah, Matanzas means slaughter.
Oh shit. Well, I mean, yeah, but imagine a Cheesecake Factory there, the novelty of it.
They'd probably do a killing.
Wow, and we gotta go. Yeah. It was great. Thanks for having us on the show.
Yeah.
Right. Shit, we've been going for almost 2 hours.
Listen.
Fazoli's. We've had to do a Fazoli's. We went there once and then we found out that the noodles had egg, and then their toilet paper is too rough, and we tried to blow our nose and it hurt. And then we left.
Thank you for clarifying that your nose was the issue that the toilet paper Fazoli's was.
I think drive-through Italian food is probably the worst idea of all time.
I think I'm not a big sin guy, but I do think that drive-through Italian food is a sin.
Yeah.
Any other noodle is mostly, or most noodles aren't egg noodles, but for some reason they choose to use egg noodles for all of their fucking noodles.
That's so fucked.
So Fazoli's is not even good. Vegan it sucks. Whatsoever.
Not even good.
If anyone is listening to this, just remember, Fazoli's not vegan. That's what we learned here today.
That's what that and that's we're trying to get guys. Better. That's the big takeaway. So if we just want to put it, let's underline that Fazoli's is not vegan for any future listeners. Thank you for sharing that with us, guys. We've been going for a while. I think we should probably get to wrapping things up.
Yeah, I think that's an episode.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate you guys coming on. You've been fantastic. It's been super duper nice to have you.
It has been an absolute pleasure.
The door is wide open anytime you'd like to come back. I was wondering, Obviously, we talked about this previously. We're going to be releasing, I think, a playlist along with the episode of kind of just some shit you guys have been enjoying, you know, just recently. And we'll get that put out. So I appreciate you doing that. Obviously, check out the debut album from Guilt, Ignore What's Missing.
Real quick, what's the Pokemon thing?
Doing a 2-song rendition in the style of Pokemon on the October at 9:30 p.m. Eastern time.
That is extremely sick. I will be watching that.
I'm so excited.
I will be there as well.
Are we doing it or somebody is doing a rendition of one of ours? No.
Someone's doing a rendition of ours.
Yeah, because I didn't practice.
Yeah, I haven't practiced it.
I'm going to find my Game Boy cartridge so I can practice for the set coming up.
The little preview that was posted on Twitter was pretty fucking sick. So definitely
very stoked for that.
Check that out. What did you say? October 2nd, 9:30.
October 2nd. Yeah.
Very sick. Well, this episode will definitely be out by then. So if you're not there, then you can stop listening to the show now. Thank you all. Have a good night. And if anybody has any closing words they'd like to shout as the music fades in.
Nope.
Ice Nine Kills is a good band anyhow.
No, stop it. No. Cut it. All right. Stop it. Cut the podcast.
I'll cut her mic.
Ash doesn't get to be on the playlist.
No.
Thank you so much again to our new friends in Guilt. You can follow Guilt on just about any social media. They are on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. GuiltFL is where you're going to want to follow. GuiltFL. I would highly encourage you to buy their new album, Ignore What's Missing. You can find that at guilt.bandcamp.com. You can also write into the show here, ybigpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. You can follow us on Twitter. We'd love to know what you think at ybigpodcast. Music for Your Band is Garbage is courtesy of The Last Safe Place, Kevin McLeod, and the wonderful Jake Batwell.